This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning to you and welcome to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and on the show this week, we welcome Joe McKenzie and Leibel Sternbach, All Sufficiency with Reverend James Stacy. That's the title of his message from Unity South Twin Cities this week. Dr. Michael Osterholm, he's an epidemiologist and an advisor to President Joe Biden. He'll be here talking about the Omicron variant of the COVID-19 virus. The fine folks from AARP Minnesota are here too. Plus, we'll hear today's National Day and, of course, my words to the wise. All this and more this week on New Beginnings. Hi, everybody. I'm Freddie Bell. Thanks for being with us this weekend on New Beginnings. And joining us is a wonderful individual from Oldham Rehabilitation Center. His name is Trigg Lundgren. Hello and welcome back to our show, sir.
Hi, Freddie. Thanks again for having me.
Glad you're with us. Now, you took over. You're in the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, this where the Oldham Rehabilitation is. But that is a really, really unique space once occupied by the YMCA.
That's right. We've been here for about 5 years. For a lot of that time, we were able to have a great symbiotic relationship with the YMCA. Now we have the pleasure of continuing to work in this space, both in the offices that people might be familiar with that are at the back of that space where the Y was, as well as then in the therapy pool.
So tell us a little bit about the therapy pool. I remember taking a tour some time ago, and it was really unique, but I don't believe I know all the aspects of it.
Sure. So it's a warm water therapy pool. We keep it at about 93 degrees, so it's nice and comfortable to get in. Another amazing feature of the pool is that the whole pool deck, the bottom of the pool, is actually a treadmill. We can raise that whole pool deck up, and if people are worried about, you don't have to do that. You walk right out on it. We lower it down into the water, and depending on people's level of comfort, we can adjust that height or that depth as well so that people can be lowered down 3 feet, 4 feet, again, depending on their comfort level, and then we can advance that as time goes on. Like I said, that treadmill, we use that to actually assess people's gait, their walking. And then just the general benefits of warm water are a few different things. First of all, it helps to increase your joint flexibility. It decreases pain naturally, as well as improving balance and increasing your muscle strength. So we get a lot of benefits out of this pool. And Freddie, you and I were just talking. It's really an underutilized feature that we have here. We get people in there, but not as often as I think we could be or should be.
How do you know, or how would I know as a listener, if I'm a candidate for this warm water therapy?
Sure. So oftentimes it's the judgment of the physical therapist, but if you have joint pain or limited range of motion, and if you have chronic pain, therapy or aquatic therapy might be the right thing for you.
So do I have to go through my doctor to say, look, I want to get connected with Oldham Rehabilitation Center because of this pain that I've been experiencing? I understand they have aquatic therapy. How do I engage?
Yeah, so oftentimes that's the route that people go. But if you would like to see a physical therapist here in the state of Minnesota, you do not need a physician's referral. First, you can come directly to us, whether it's stopping by here, of course, or calling us at 612-505-1709. We're available to provide those evaluations. We're here 5 days a week, usually 8 a.m. to 5 or 5:30 p.m.
Talk about the insurance requirements. How does that work if I've got Medicare or maybe I don't have insurance at all?
Yeah, so First, on the insurance end, we take all insurances. If you have any concerns about that, we can double check before you visit to see if you have a copay. Most insurances that we have seen here, people don't have a copay. So that means you're not paying anything. Your insurance is paying for all of it. If people are worried about money and they do not have insurance, we do have a private pay option that is from what I've seen and the way that we've set it, it's well below industry standard because we really have a passion to be accessible, which is one of the reasons that we're here in the center with Cora McCorvey.
T- Tell us one more time. I know we've gotten into talking about the benefits of aquatic therapy, but how can our listeners reach out to you? How can we set the appointment?
Yeah, so if you'd like to contact us directly to set up an appointment, the number is 612-505-1709. You can visit us on our website, odomrehab.com, O-D-O-M, rehab.com. You can set up those appointments, and we are more than happy and passionate to serve you to help manage, whether it's pain or deficits, whatever you're going through. Our passion is to improve your quality of life, get you moving again and feeling good.
He's a clinical director. That's Trigg Lundgren of Odom Rehabilitation Center. Thanks, Trigg, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hi again, everyone, and welcome Mary Jo George. Mary Jo George, the Associate State Director of Advocacy for AARP Minnesota. And I'm sure you're pretty excited because of some good news about Hero Pay.
Oh, yes, absolutely. We are very excited that a compromise has been reached on the Hero Pay for frontline workers. And the governor did just sign it into law on May 3rd last week. And so that's good news because this is something we've been working on since last year. I think it's long overdue, but it really recognizes the dedication and hard work that all the essential workers perform during the pandemic. So we are absolutely pleased about this.
So that's $250 million of bonus pay for frontline workers. Tell us more about that. How will it be dispersed?
Well, actually, I just want to correct you on that. Last year, they had come to an agreement on $250 million, but the Senate and House could never agree on who should be eligible. But in the final agreement that just passed, there's going to be $500 million for Hero Pay, and it's estimated that about 667,000 workers would be eligible for that bonus, and the amount of that bonus is about $750. So we're really pleased about that. And to be eligible, employees would have had to work in person. They want to be able to have worked remotely, and they would have had to have worked about 3 weeks or 120 hours between March 15, 2020 and June 30th, 2021. And then within that time, they would not have been able to have received unemployment benefits for 3 weeks. So again, yeah. So it's good, and we're hoping to get the word out, Freddie, because we're afraid maybe some people don't know about it, or maybe they left their jobs. I know from our perspective, many of the nursing home workers and assisted living staff really deserve this work because, you know, during the pandemic, they continued to show up to their jobs, even as their workplaces were becoming the epicenters of infections and putting their lives at risk and putting their own families at risk. So we hope that they take advantage of this recognition check.
Mary Jo George goes on to say that the state will require workers to apply and offer proof of their hours worked. The portal is expected to be open in 3 or 4 weeks, and the checks will be available in about 10 to 12 weeks. In the meantime, workers can sign up for news about the process at frontlinepay.mn.gov. That's frontlinepay.mn.gov. She also says there's an income gap of $85,000 for individuals who did not work directly with COVID-19 patients, and those who did work with patients could receive checks if they earned up to $175,000. The website, once again, is frontlinepay.mn.gov. And Mary Jo George, thank you so much for being with us from AARP Minnesota. We've got more New Beginnings straight ahead. Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org. In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Great information for you this week on New Beginnings. And it happened this week. Arizona is restarting the death penalty. A 66-year-old prisoner received a lethal injection for killing a college student back in 1978. This is the first execution since the last one was botched nearly 8 years ago when it took almost 2 hours for the inmate to die. The suspect who allegedly assaulted comedian Dave Chappelle is again being denied a reduced bail. A Los Angeles judge rejected a request by a lawyer for Isaiah Lee to drop his $30,000 bail amount. The 23-year-old suspect was hoping to get released on his own recognizance. Lee was filmed tackling the comedian on stage at the Hollywood Bowl last week. He was in possession of a knife, but the L.A. County District Attorney declined to press felony charges. That left the L.A. City Attorney to file 4 misdemeanor charges. Chappelle's legal team says they're upset with the DA's decision. Lisa Cook became the first black woman to serve on the Federal Reserve Board of Governors. The Senate confirmed her nomination 51-50 this week, with Vice President Harris breaking the tie. Republicans argued she was not qualified for a spot on the Fed board. Cook has a doctorate in economics and is a professor at Michigan State University. And guests for Ellen DeGeneres' finale are being announced. Justin Timberlake and Oprah are on the list, as is Jennifer Aniston, who was Ellen's very first guest back in 2003. The singer Pink, who wrote the show's Emmy Award-winning theme song, will also be making an appearance. The comedian's daytime talk show is ending on May 26. And you may have heard about Iron Mike Tyson not facing criminal charges from when he attacked a man on an airplane. A California district attorney cited many reasons for not bringing charges against the former heavyweight champion. They noted that it's because of the conduct of the victim leading up to the incident, the interaction between Tyson and the victim, as well as request of both individuals. This all stems from last month when a man is seen on video agitating Tyson to the point until he turned around and started punching the man in the face. Tyson had been facing multiple criminal charges. An NFL team is being sued by their former kicker, Josh Lambeau, wants $3 million from the Jacksonville Jaguars. He claimed the coach created a hostile work environment last season, saying physical and verbal abuse affected his performance and led to his release. And finally, the NBA is mourning the loss of another legend. Hall of Famer and longtime NBA global ambassador Bob Lanier has passed away following a short illness. He was only 73 years old. Lanier was an 8-time All-Star during his 14-year NBA career with the Pistons and the Milwaukee Bucks. His number 16 was retired by both teams. It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell on New Beginnings. And now it's time to hear from our friends at Unity South Twin Cities, located at 7950 First Avenue South in Bloomington, Minnesota. They have 2 services at 9 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings. The Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. Let's join them now for a program already in progress, a lesson entitled An Elegant Sufficiency.
Jesus, in one of his greatest miracles, so often talked about the feeding of the multitude. He set an example for us, because when his disciples came and said, we're way out here, maybe not the wilderness, but way out beyond the suburbs, and these people are hungry, and it's getting dark. Master, what are we going to do? And he said, get the people to settle and sit on the ground in groups. And then he lifted up his eyes to heaven. He lifted his thought to a higher realm, and he gave thanks for what they had in the moment. The proverbial 5 fish and a few loaves of bread. He blessed the good they had right there. And suddenly, like the widow's oil, that good was enough to give to every group. 5,000, the scripture records. And of course, they only counted men. They didn't count the women and the children, so there were even more. And all were fed until they were satisfied. There was enough. Now, these are not stories, if we're truly going to grasp their meaning, they're not stories of what could be accomplished only in biblical times. These stories are a recognition of universal creative principle. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, claimed that we could do what Jesus did. Wow. I bet that woke up his congregation. Listen to that. The great revered master of the ages. You can do what Jesus did. If we demonstrate the same consciousness of union, of connection with the infinite source of all good, and do not doubt. Charles claimed this was the miracle-working power of Jesus. He had no separation in mind between himself and his source. Do you feel that connection to your understanding of God? That as Lessons in Truth by Emily Cady said, God will come forth as your good, to the degree that you are able to receive. So there is that question. Are you that tight with the source of life, with the source of all good? Or do you feel like you have days when you doubt providence, welfare, abundance for you? I know I do. Anytime I pick up a challenging bill or expectation, many of you know I had an appendectomy back in March, and now the hospital bills are starting to roll in. Fortunately, Medicare handles most of it, but not all of it has been covered. And I look, and the immediate thought is, how is James going to handle that by himself? Eek! There are a lot of zeros there. How am I going to handle that? Fillmore's understanding of Jesus, when he approached a situation, even the need of a great number of people, he saw no separation between himself, truly no separation between these people and their God, their provider. He did not doubt from day to day if needs would be met, but they would be met in the moment. On another occasion, he was advising his disciples, who he was sending out to do their own work. You know, Jesus wasn't always at every gathering. He sent his disciples out to spread the good news, the gospel. And he said, don't worry about what you're going to say or do when you get to that town. Don't worry about it. Because Spirit, another name for source, for God, will give you what you need in that moment. It will be enough for that moment, that town, that hour. But I don't know about you, but I know from my own life experience that I don't always consider that word enough. I don't always consider my phrase elegant sufficiency. Because a lot of times I'm thinking about, well, what's going to be enough in 2035 when I am, well, however old I'll be? What's going to be enough then? Now, I am not claiming that we shouldn't plan, invest, consider the future. Someone in the early service, I was chatting about this title and saying that it's not wrong to plan for the future, to think about our later years. But our point of power is in the now. Our point of power is, what are we going to do creatively with the daily bread of today? How are we going to, as my father used to always remind me, enjoy it as much as you possibly can? Fully utilize the good you've been given right now. Well, but I need something that I have to pay off next month. And no. What are you going to do today with the daily bread, with what you've been given? Because your power of discernment, your power of creativity, your willingness to share and put that good to work is in the moment. You can't say, well, let's see, how generous am I going to feel next September?
Unity South Twin Cities, 7950 First Avenue South in Bloomington, Minnesota. You can join them each week either at 9 or at 10:30 a.m. and for their weekly activities as well.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference, available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell, and now it's time to talk finance with Leibel Sternbach. Leibel is an Amazon best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety, and he's also the author of Authenticity. Leibel, hello, and welcome back.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really, really well, and I can't wait to get into this topic because I can see that it's happening in my near future. We want to talk about retirement, and I'm just curious. There are some retirees that I know, and I'm sure you've counseled over time. Do they ever come to you and they say, look, Leibel, I just don't have enough money to retire, but I need to go? What do you say after you put your arm around their shoulder?
So I personally, I have yet to meet someone who said I had enough money, regardless of regardless of how much they've had. I literally, there was one day where I met with a guy who had, you know, about $3 million in the bank, and he had pensions and whatnot. And then I met with a lady who she had, you know, like $100,000 or something, right? And like, you couldn't be further apart, and they both felt that they didn't have enough money.
That's interesting.
What I will say is, I think it's a feeling, right? Objectively having enough money, I think that, you know, I don't know that there's a number for that, because one of the things that I think makes America great is that we as a nation have committed to the fact that while we want to have this capitalist society that rewards individual efforts, we also want to have a safety net that is available to the people who need it. And that safety net is not charity. It's in the form of it's in the form of programs that people can tap into if they need it, because either they don't have the income or the resources to be able to afford things on their own, or just be able to go that extra mile. And so there are so many ways to retire regardless of your income level, mm-hmm. that honestly, you know, how much you have saved should be the secondary question of, am I ready to retire?
It's interesting. You're giving people a lot of hope. I know that you're making me take a step back as I think about retirement, because it says to me, and what I hear you saying is that if you're ready to retire, if it's come for that time and you're there, maybe not totally financially, but maybe emotionally, that it is possible to retire on your own terms.
Yeah. I think so. And I think that not retiring in a lot of ways, it's a shackle of the mind. I don't know if you've been, you know, kind of following this very interesting trend that's been going on. This world of abundance that people talk about, abundance this, abundance that, or wellness, right? Health and wellness. But people are waking up to this idea that money and the thought patterns that we have when it comes to what we need financially, and as well as, you know, emotionally and mentally, that these are all constructs that we've kind of created for ourselves. And they, in a lot of ways, they hold us back. And when you kind of let go of the norm of, well, I have to work a hard day's labor in order to make an honest wage, or I need to have lots of money saved up because nobody will take care of me in my old age, or, you know, whatever it is that we've been raised with, that has been indoctrinated into us, that is, you know, as American as apple pie. When you let go of those things, you open your eyes to a world where anything is possible at any income level.
That's really interesting. So walk me through this, Libel. So how do people, and many of our listeners, and I'm not trying to cast a net here, but there are a lot of people, especially those who listen to our show. There are 78 million baby boomers, and that number is growing, who retire. How do people retire when they don't have a lot of money?
So first I'm going to just addressed with the elephant in the room. I think that the vast majority of retirees of baby boomers and their parents do not have enough money to retire on what people think of as retirement. If they were to be completely financially independent without any government subsidies, without any resources from the community, without, like, if you were placed on a desert island and you had to survive with the money that you've earned so far, okay, I don't think that's possible for the vast majority of retirees. And I think that that's our fault. I also think that it's our responsibility as a nation, not just as a government, but as individuals. And this is why I do this show. This is why I do everything I do, is to help as many people be financially independent as possible without having to rely on the government to come out and hand it out to you. Because if all of a sudden we turn around and all these baby boomers who do not have enough money to conventionally retire, all of a sudden, you know, they are forced to retire for health or, you know, other reasons or just age, right? Right. What's going to end up happening is all the local governments are going to have to cough up money to feed and house and clothe these people and take care of them. And the government doesn't have the ability to do that, at least in an economic way, right? The government is not the most efficient vehicle. The money exists, but by the time the government gets involved, it's going to be all gone. Right. And nobody's going to be happy with the results. So we as an individuals need to figure out how to solve this problem for everyone. Because if we don't, that is, forget about a recession, forget about the markets, that's going to destroy our country. That's what I see as the big fear. So having said that, right, how do we do this? How do we actually retire, regardless of what we have saved, regardless of, you know, what money and resources we have? I think the first thing that we got to do, right, is look at what we want for retirement. What are the things that we actually need? And whether it's housing, right, or whether it's, paying for electricity or heat, all of those things that we need, they are available to us, and we need to look at the resources that are available. So, for instance, home, right? A lot of baby boomers own their homes, or they live in houses that they raise their children in, and they have equity in those homes, right? That is a resource to be tapped into. This is, by the way, something that is unconventional wisdom, and I've gotten flack for this in the past, but all of a sudden with interest rates, people are talking about this. Your home is a resource, right?
Okay.
Look for it and see how you can leverage it. Look how you can leverage that. Now, right now is not the time. Probably it may not be the time to sell right now. I'm not going to comment on that. I'm not going to comment on whether now is the time to take out money. But just remember, you're sitting on a chunk of real estate that has value and will increase in value. Something else to look at, right? The millennials who couldn't afford to buy a house, the solution that they found was building these little mini houses in their parents' backyards.
Hmm.
That can easily be flipped the other way. And these houses, right? They think they're as cheap as $30,000-$40,000. You can even buy on Amazon a kit to build this thing. Right?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And when you're thinking about it, right, you're like, well, I want to be independent. I want to have my own space. I don't want to move in with my kids. Yeah, I totally get you, right? Move into their backyard. They can still take care of you and you still have independence. Right. There are options when you start to look. So it's more about opening your eyes to non-traditional possibilities. That's one thing. The other thing is there's resources out there. Let's say you own your home outright, right? So what do you actually need in order to live, right? You need food on the table, roof over your head, heat, mm-hmm. right? Electricity, medicine the government's going to provide for you,
mm-hmm.
right? So really, you just need to put food on the table. When it comes to food and heat, right, all of the local all the local companies that provide electricity and heating, they all have programs for seniors. They all have needs-based programs. So while it is possible, the truth is that you can argue that even within extreme poverty, the more impoverished you are, the less likely you are to go without heat. It's the people who live in this middle ground where they've got resources, but they don't have enough, that have to work the hardest.
Are there community resources that people who really need the extra help can tap into that you're aware of? I know AARP does a great job.
Yep. So they do a great job. So the Department of Health, and there's usually a Department of Health or Aging for every state, every county. They all have senior resources. Look for local community centers. There are some websites like 211.org, findhelp.org, needymeds.org. There are these national resources where they get grants from the federal government, state government, and local governments to help people find money and resources to provide for the things that they need. And it could be things like, getting a home health care worker to come and help you with things. It can be things to help you, renovate your house or pay for medicines or get generic drugs or just have someone who can help you navigate all the millions of things that you have to navigate as a retiree, mm-hmm. right? Whereas if you had money, you would hire a financial advisor who would do this for you or help you navigate it. If you don't have money or you can't afford a financial advisor, the government has people who they're paying who will help you do this.
Really?
Yeah, it exists. You just need to know to look.
Wow. So do you have a resource that you can share at this point? I know we don't talk about this this early, but is there a resource that our listeners can tap into right now as they're listening to us to start that process to uncover these resources?
So the biggest resource you're going to find and the best resource is going to be your local government. Mm-hmm. Your local government will have a website or they will have a department for seniors. They will have that. And they've gathered in there, all the local resources that they're funding. Mm-hmm. Because generally the money trickles down federal government, state, then county, then local government. And the local government is usually in charge of handing it out. So at each one of those levels, right, each one of them will have websites and resources and people you can call and offices you can walk into who will be more than willing to help you with that. Local library, the people working there generally know of those programs. The library also generally get funding. Part of their grants is to be this community center for disseminating this information. So check that out. Websites, 211.org, findhelp.org, needymeds, all of those websites have in there, you put in where you are and they have the different websites specialize in different areas, but they will help connect you with those local resources. The other thing, anyone who you're paying money to, right? Next time you get a bill, just call them up and say, hey, I am 65, I'm whatever, right? And I am, or just say, I'm having trouble paying this bill. What options do you have? Right? And don't wait until you're running out of money to ask for that help. I've been there, right? Where, you know, broke and not having anything. It's a lot harder to get help when you don't have money. When you have a little bit of money still, there are options available to you. When you have no money, then you're, you know, kind of at the mercy of, you know, whatever resources are out there, and it's a lot harder to find them. But when you have something and you're not there, those are the people who they really want to help because they want to keep you from getting to that point.
You also have some resources too with your website and your TikTok channel.
That is correct. Yeah. On our website. So go to our website, yieldsforyou.com. Got a ton of resources there. I put together a whole bunch of guides. There's trainings. There's, you know, we got our blog, our podcast, and on TikTok, if you like, you know, 1 to 2 minute videos. So really, I mean, even like from these podcasts, I'll pull out, you know, little sound bites. I'm constantly recording things. And if you have questions, just submit them, email them, and I will answer them or I'll find somebody who can answer them for you.
Before we go, we've only got about 90 seconds left. If there is one thing that our listeners can do today to make sure that they have a financial liquidity in retirement, what would you share with us?
You have more resources than you think you have, and you are wealthier than you know. Start asking the hard questions. Start pretending that you don't know anything and ask for help, and you will be amazed at what you will find.
Thank you, Libel. We look forward to hearing from you again next week. Libel's website is libelonfire.com. That's libelonfire.com. And more New Beginnings is straight ahead. Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org. Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
As we prepare to bring you more information this week on New Beginnings, I thought I'd share some lighthearted information for you. What if I told you that there is one thing you could do for 30 to 90 seconds each morning that would have an immediate positive impact on your health, your energy level, your brain chemistry, and your attitude? What is this miracle elixir? It's an icy shower, not a coldish shower, but a blast of 38 degree icy cold water that causes you to gasp for air and let loose with a stream of obscenities. Do this for at least 30 seconds, and here are some of the benefits. It triggers deep breathing, which in turn increases your oxygen levels, your heart rate, and your overall cardiac function. It improves circulation and helps your arteries more efficiently pump blood. It lowers your blood pressure. It boosts your immune system. Repeated cold showers have been shown to toughen you up, increasing your resilience to stress or what's called hardening. It activates your brown fat. Now, this is the good fat that increases your metabolic rate so that you can burn more calories. Take that cold shower today. And there's new data that's being released by Twitter tracking the trend of users posting their scores in Wordle. Are you playing it yet? There were an average of 400 tweets per day about Wordle in December, which leapt to 500,000 tweets per day. day at its peak at the beginning of February. They were also able to glean some scoring trends given the 23.5 million tweets sharing scores from 2.1 million people. It turns out that the easiest words to get were plant, stare, and trash, which took an average of 3.5 guesses, while the hardest were swill, fairy, and forego, which took an average of almost 5 guesses. And what harmless animal are you afraid of? Country singer Carrie Underwood revealed that she's a bit scared of turtles. Apparently, as a kid, she would catch turtles and try to hug them. However, she got bit by one. And now she's okay with spiders and snakes. What harmless animal are you afraid of? It's wacky, but it's true. A jobless man was caught trying to break into a prison in Brazil because he believed he would have a better life behind bars than life as a free man. The man claimed he had committed a robbery, but no one had arrested him. The police spokesman was extremely happy when the officers found out that he really was wanted for robbery. And a man in Iowa may have had sweet intentions when city officials say that he spray-painted an expression of love on a water tower in Sac City, but the city said the painting caused about $350 in damage. The graffiti was also featuring a misspelling of the word together. He left out both E's. Eric Muggenberg had been charged with fourth-degree criminal mischief. And can you guess what this is? Spread out across the Great Lakes of North America, there are 4,000 what? The answer would be sunken ships. And Starbucks is revealing that a whopping $1 billion is sitting on Starbucks gift cards unused. Every year, millions of people gift and receive Starbucks gift cards, which can both draw in a new customer and create convenience for already existing customers. To give you some idea of just how popular they are, customers purchased 46 million Starbucks gift cards in 2020, totaling $12.6 billion in gift cards for the year. Just for fun this week on New Beginnings. It is New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to our program. And right now, let's turn our attention to Joe McKenzie. He is a career expert and the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. RippleConnects.com or 763-438-1621. Good morning and welcome, Joe McKenzie.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable, and I'm excited about today's program because you're talking about success. I love talking about success, but you've honed it down. You say that career success can come at any age. What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that, Freddie, is you can have meaningful and notable career success at any point in your career. It could be at the very beginning of your career, or it could be towards the end of your career, but no one's to say that at a certain age you won't have that same level or meaningful success because you're over a certain age. And I'm not even going to use an age because I think it's so important that we're speaking to 25-year-olds, 45-year-olds, 65-year-olds, and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
That career success can come at any age, at any point in your career. We've seen examples of that. We know famous people, you know, like Nelson Mandela and Julia Childs. They were very successful in their 50s, 60s, and beyond, and they didn't. That was probably their most notable success. Those are just examples, but every day in the Twin Cities, someone is achieving more and more as they've progressed through their career, and I want to get it out there to let people know that your success could happen at any point because there's some things that exist with us, Freddie. I think that my creativity is as strong as it was when I was 35 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And with creativity, with the amount of level of creativity, I can solve problems with the team probably more effectively than I did when I was 35. Well, if I can solve more problems more effectively than I did 20 years ago, then there's that opportunity for me to drive some outcomes and that career accomplishment. And our creativity doesn't go away because we age. Our creativity may be bolstered and fostered. So it's important for us to know that career success can come at any age. And we've talked about this. We've been dedicated to this topic for several years on New Beginnings. And let's put it out there for the world and give people some insights on why their best success, their most notable career success, may be yet to come.
That's really interesting that you even mentioned that, because I know there's some people who are listening right now who may be in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 70s. I don't know what the age, but I think you just gave someone some encouragement that says, I can do this, and I can do this right now because I do have the capacity, I have the creativity. And let's talk about creativity. That's a takeaway today. Talk about creativity and tenacity in someone's career.
Well, I think our experiences, Freddie, allow us to see how to solve problems. Who should be on our team to help us solve them? Our creativity is added to because we're around other creative people. And, oh, that was interesting how you solved that. Well, maybe those people didn't come into your life until after a certain age. Our creativity, and we see how outcomes have changed because of a different approach, someone's diversity of thinking. Our creativity doesn't wane. It actually keeps rising because we're exposed and we're around more and more people and how to solve problems. And therefore, with that, combined with our experience, we have good ideas. We're surrounding ourselves with good people. And one thing we have to think about is, think of how many more people you know today than just 20 years ago. And we've established our different network nodes, Freddie. And those network nodes, we can carefully curate someone that may help us add to our creativity, add to our outcomes. I don't have, at the age of 35, I don't have the vast network that I have today at my age. Now I'm able to carefully go out and find the right people to help me be more creative, to have creative solutions. To your point, I'm better set to drive bigger outcomes, more meaningful outcomes in my life than just 20 years ago.
That's really interesting. Joe McKenzie is talking with us today about career sets coming at any age. And I immediately thought about the high school student who was preparing for his PhD course. And he's like 13 years old and he says he wants to be a teacher. But on the other side, I'm thinking about other people like Anthony Fauci and other septuagenarians who are really doing well in their careers right now. So what should we be thinking about? How should we, what's the self-talk? What do we say to ourselves in order to change our mindset if we're thinking that our best days are behind us?
Well, along with what I just talked about with creativity, let's establish that our network nodes, our different nodes, and our civic life, and our volunteer life, and our work life, and our in faith organizations, in our neighborhoods, we know more people. We've been around more people. We've developed, we've established those network nodes. Those are sources of how we can find the answers or find someone to collaborate with. Our ability to collaborate with someone of any age from our different network nodes allows us to do more than we did, you know, 20, 30 years ago when we were still establishing our network nodes. I know that sounds odd, but it's true. When you start thinking about your network as civic, faith, colleagues, clients, volunteer work, they're distinct, but we all know different people with different thinking styles and approaches. We probably, most people have more people that they can turn to or collaborate with to be more creative, and to be more creative in this day and age will help drive those accomplishments. So I think that's the self-talk you have to have. Think about 20 years back and who you didn't know. I didn't know you until 10 years ago. Well, because of your, you know, our collaboration, we're doing great. We're doing some, you know, some meaningful work here at New Beginnings. I didn't have that 20 years ago. So that self-talk is we've established our networks and we continue to do that day in and day out. And therefore, we can be lining ourselves up for career success at any age because of that fact alone.
All right. Well said, Joe. We got to leave it right there. For those who are looking for more information, where can they get it?
My website, and that's rippleconnects.com or 763-438-1621.
I can't tell you how excited I am that you're sharing time with us this week on New Beginnings. And today is National Strawberries and Cream Day. Strawberries have been traced back to the Roman Empire. Ancient Romans believed this fruit alleviated symptoms of melancholy, fainting, inflammation, fevers, throat infections, kidney stones, bad breath, yes, attacks of gout, as well as diseases of the blood, liver, and spleen. However, food historians think the Greeks knew about strawberries even before this. The fruit was also a symbol of wealth and luxury in Victorian England. As they were a perishable food, strawberries were only available in season, increasing their demand. After evolving into a luxury, they began to be served during afternoon tea among the wealthy. You might even consider having a spot of tea on National Strawberries and Cream Day. And here are today's words to the wise. Life is a winding road. Today's words to the wise. Life is a winding road. For more information about the book Words to the Wise, FreddieBell.com. A very special thanks to all of our guests this week, including Leibel Sternbach, Joe McKenzie, Dr. Michael Osterholm, epidemiologist, Mary Jo George from AARP Twin Cities, and you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for making us a part of your weekend. And for everyone who's been a part of this one, this is Freddie Bell saying goodbye for now. And remember that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.